If I may, just a bit of a commercial for tonight's lesson. We invite you back each time. The doors are open, of course. And this evening, we're going to be talking about Noah. When's the last time you heard a lesson on Noah? Too many times as adults, we take a look at some of the Old Testament stories of some of the great men and women of faith therein and just say, well, that was kid stuff, and I learned that in Bible school a long time ago, and forget that there are some very powerful lessons for us as adults as well. And so tonight we're going to talk about the life of Noah, a character sketch of what he did and his ministry for God, and some of the great lessons and that we can pick up for us today about his faith and his obedience and devotion to the Lord. So tonight, I invite you back and we'll talk, Lord willing, about Noah. The scriptures you can see in the title of the lesson today is 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, where Paul says, "Until I come." In that particular context, he's not referring to the Lord's second coming, but to his own coming to see Timothy. And he writes the second letter, as we know, 2 Timothy, about his relationship with Timothy, as a lot of other things. But he wants to be with Timothy, and Timothy is the preacher at Ephesus. We know quite a bit about the Ephesian congregation. In the Bible, we read about its beginning in Acts chapter 19. Of course, we have the letter to the Ephesians there within the New Testament. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 down to about verse 7 is about the church at Ephesus. And we are told in 2 Timothy that Timothy was the preacher for a time anyway at the congregation in Ephesus. And he wants to encourage Timothy. Of course, as we see Timothy within the New Testament, he is portrayed as a younger man, a young evangelist, a young preacher. Paul is the seasoned apostle. He is the more experienced one, and truly he tries to encourage Timothy, so on and so forth. And so within this verse here that was read for us, we see that until I come, until Paul comes to see Timothy, he wants him to do four things. But what I want to do, if you'll allow me just a little bit of license today, is to take these things that Paul has instructed Timothy to do and put them in the context of Jesus and his second coming, and look at this idea of until I come is the idea of what should we be doing until the Lord returns. I don't know how much you think about the Lord and his second coming. Maybe that's something that really doesn't enter your mind very often. Maybe it's something by which that you think about quite often. But nevertheless, it should be something that we need to keep in our mind. We do know that he could come at any time. We're not instructed by the Bible as to the day or the hour or the minute or even the year. Fact is, we're told just the opposite, that Jesus himself doesn't even know. Only God the Father knows exactly when he's going to send Jesus back. And so any type of Bible study that we do in trying to calculate the time of the Lord's return is always in vain. That's not the point. So if that's not the point, what is the point? Well, I think maybe today's lesson can be the point. That truly when we think about the Lord and his coming, we know it is a fact that he's going to come back. That we can bank on that, as we like to say. We don't know when it is, and so what we need to do, since we can't discover or calculate the time of his coming, is to be ready for that coming. Yeah. And then if we're ready for the coming, doesn't make any difference. He can be early, he can be late, he can be any time he wants to be at the God's discretion, because we're ready for his coming. And that's the point of the message today that I want to suggest to you, as Paul does to Timothy here within this passage, four very wonderful things that we can be doing in our life, and that will help us to be ready when the Lord comes again. If you're following along in the Sunday talk on page 3, you'll notice we've got the four main points, and I've got them here on the screen as well. One thing I wanted to mention here, the little icon that I have in the upper left-hand corner shows various things about life. It shows a clock, and it shows a book, and so on and so forth. You know, life is busy. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of times I'm just a lot busier than I really care to be. And what happens when we find ourselves very, very busy is that sometimes we mix up the immediate and the urgent. And we tend to do the urgent and leave the immediate undone. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. Am I on your block there? Have you ever thought back to life and say, you know, I did all these things that were urgent and immediate, and I didn't take care of the important today, and I missed the prayer time, I missed this, I missed that, and sometimes we put ourselves a little bit on a guilt trip, and rightfully so, because we've just mixed that up and not done what we should be doing. Let me encourage you this morning by this lesson to put some things down by way of importance, that you might be ready for that second coming, and you'll be doing what you need to be doing anyway in living the Christian life. First thing that Paul says here within our text is that we need to put great emphasis on the Word of God. Notice again here 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. He says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." One of the things that we see within this context is that as Timothy, as the young evangelist, one of the things he was to do as an evangelist was to give great adherence and set aside time for the public reading of Scripture. We have that as part of our worship service, of course. It generally happens right before the lesson. Of course, we could do it any time within the service, but I'm glad that we do it. Every now and then, as I get to travel and worship in other places, very rarely, but every now and then, I see a worship service where they don't have a scripture reading as such. Now, I don't know if that necessarily makes them unscriptural in what they're doing in worship, but I think something is lost when we don't give that emphasis when we come together as a body of Christ. And here we see that Timothy was told by Paul to give his attention to just that, the public reading of Scripture. Truly, it is something that we can all benefit from. Now, does that mean we don't need to read our Bible privately? Well, heavens no, and I think we understand that. But there is something about hearing God's Word read. And I wonder what your attitude is when that happens. Is it a time to clip your fingernails? I hope not. Is it a time to say, well, I guess this is just another part of our worship service? Is this a time where you start thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon or tomorrow or next week? Well, I hope none of that is true. I hope that when one of our young men or one of our older men comes up here to read the Scripture, that you have your Bibles ready and that you're very quick to open to that passage and to see it therein. Because you realize, of course, not only is that passage probably going to have something to do with my lesson, but it's the Word of God. Even if it didn't have something to do with my lesson, that's still okay. It's still the Word of God. And truly, we need to emphasize that Word. And it's so true, because anytime you read in the book, anytime you read in the Bible about people who are not doing what God wants them to do, chances are every time they have forgotten His Word. They have neglected the Word of God. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't have any power or zest in my life. Well, there's several things that could be a part of that problem, but one of it might be a failure to have emphasis on the Word of God. And truly, I don't think we can emphasize it enough that truly to know what God's Word says is so very important. I want you to have your own faith. Just because I say it doesn't make it true. It's only true if the Bible teaches it. Chances are I'm human and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to take a position or have an opinion or do whatever that is not what the Bible says. Now, I don't plan to do that. I don't aim to do that, but I'm just as human as the next fellow and I make mistakes. And Lord knows I've changed my mind about passages over the years. And so that's why I don't want you to have my faith. I want you to have your own faith. And the way you're going to do that is have it built on the Word of God. Know for yourself what the Bible says. Sometimes I disagree with my brethren on some of the positions they take and the way they feel about Scripture. But whenever a brother or sister takes a position and they look at the Bible and they tell me why they interpret the way they do, I have great respect for that, because it's not what so-and-so said or what grandpa said or whatever somebody said. It's based in their conviction on the Word of God. And I think that's what we ought to have. Because the Bible says so. That's why I believe it. That's why I practice it. That's why it's part of my life. Just not because Hartley says so, or Greg says so, or Bill says so, or whomever. It's because the Bible says so. And truly, Paul wanted Timothy, as well as I encourage you, until Jesus comes, let us give great emphasis to the Word of God. Love the Word. Read the Word. Obey the Word. Correctly divide the Word as best you possibly can. It will truly change your life and make things a whole lot easier. He tells Timothy here to exhort. And we talked about exhortation last Sunday night, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But exhortation means warning. It means more than just encouragement. Oh, it's there in exhortation. Definitely encouragement is there, and I would not want to minimize that. But when you truly exhort, you encourage with warnings. And let me do that again today, that I'm warning you that your life will not go the direction you want it to go if you ignore the Word of God. Until Jesus comes, you put great emphasis on knowledge of God's Word. And then as you see there on the Scripture, he is to give attention to his doctrine or his teaching. And a little bit more to say about that here at the very end of the text. Down in verse 16, but truly it does make a difference as to what we believe and what we teach. So, how do we get ready? How do we stay ready until Jesus comes? Emphasize God's Word and its role in your life. Number two, use your spiritual gifts. Use your spiritual gifts. Look again here at verse 14. I want to put it in its proper context and then make the application for us today. Paul says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance by the laying on of hands by the presbytery." I don't know exactly how to work with this particular text in that I don't know if this gift is a miraculous gift that Timothy had or whether it was just an encouragement by the eldership, that would be the presbytery, to use the gift that Timothy already had, maybe a non-miraculous gift. But in either case, that set aside, the admonition by Paul is to use the gift. And that's where I want to make the application to us today. We may not be able to do things miraculously. I don't believe that power is still within the church in our generation today. I think that was a first century thing only. But we do have gifts. We do have abilities and talents that were given us by God. And the point is, we need to use them. Truly, the word charisma that we hear about with our public leaders and other people is a word that's talked about, meaning somebody has a great personality or a commanding appearance, and that's okay. But you realize the word charisma means gifted. And truly, you are a charismatic person because somewhere within your life, God has gifted you. You have some ability, some talent, and God wants you to use it. So many times we think of that word charismatic and we get all uptight, and there's no reason to do so. There are miraculous gifts and there are non-miraculous gifts. We have non-miraculous charisma. We are charismatic people. Paul argues there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, he says there, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us," that truly we have been blessed spiritually by God, and not everybody has the same gift. But the point again is, we have a gift. You have at least one or more gifts that you can use in the body of Christ for the building up of those about you, encouragement and help and so on and so forth. My admonition to you, until Jesus comes again, use your gift. What a sad thing it is to know that some people can be around great things or a great blessing or have a great gift and never use it. Wouldn't it be a tragedy? Think about it. This person has this ability or that ability or this knowledge or this know-how, and yet, as we say, they sit on their hands. And that truly they don't use that gift for God's glory. That would be truly a waste. I won't take time, but I'd love to go back within this context of the parable of the talents there in Matthew chapter 25. Why did the one talent man get in trouble? Well, it wasn't because he didn't have two talents or five talents. It's because he wouldn't use the one talent that God had given him, or the master in the story had given him. Let's not make that mistake today. Here, I think, Lord willing, about the 1st of February on that Sunday, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts in greater detail. And I'm working on a class right now, which I think we'll pick up maybe in the fall of 09. Boy, that sounds like a long time off. but nevertheless, the fall or winter, where we're going to talk about equipping the saints. And we'll talk in detail about gifts and finding your gift and using your gift. And I hope some good things come out of that study in a practical way, that as people discover their gifts, that we'll be able to think about, well, yeah, let's do this in the church and let's do that in the church and let's expand with this program or that ministry, because there's gifts that are not being utilized. Oh, yes, until I come. Until Jesus comes, use the talents and gifts that you have been given by God. It may be just making phone calls. It may be saying an extra prayer. It may be making a visit, sending an email, writing an encouraging letter, teaching a class, whatever it might be. If you have a gift of mercy or leading or serving or teaching, use that gift and do it until Jesus comes again. Number three, as Paul points out to the young evangelists there, he asked them to devote himself fully to Christ. To devote himself fully to Christ. Look again now back at our text, chapter 4, 1 Timothy, and verse 15. He says, take pains with these. Sometimes it's not always easy. I wish it was. I wish we could just show up and get some sort of injection from the Word of God or from an elder or a preacher or some other member and say, wow, I'm going to grow spiritually now. It just doesn't work that way. As I said a few lessons ago, the trouble's worth it, but it's trouble. And Paul says to Timothy, take pains in these things. There's going to be some rough spots. There's going to be some growing that has to be done. And sometimes that growing and that admitting of error and the need to get out of our comfort zone is going to be painful. But he says, take that pain. That's a good pain. That's a growing pain. He says, take it. Do it on purpose. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. But we do it because we know it's the right thing to do. Well, you're getting the idea now. Take the pain. The pain's worth it because it's the right thing to do. And he says, be absorbed in them. Half-hearted service doesn't work anywhere, right? We know that. You may work with people on the job and, you know, they're just putting in their time. They're not, you know, doing their work. And maybe you have to do the work to supplement their laziness. And you don't appreciate that, and rightfully so, because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Or maybe in other facets of life and social groups and all that, people are supposed to have responsibilities. And they don't take those responsibilities. And it's not right. And you have to make up the difference. Well, we know that's true. It's also true in the church. We need to be absorbed. We need to be fully committed to Christ. Other than that, it won't work. Remember back there in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship? And he says there, you know, if you're going to go build a tower, don't you sit down first and see if you got enough money to finish it? And he uses another example there about one king who's going to go to war with another king. And he says, you know, first he's going to sit down and see if he's got enough with 1,000 men to take on somebody with 10,000. And if he doesn't have enough, he's going to send for terms of peace. He's going to calculate the cost. Half-hearted service to the Lord doesn't work. I wish it did. I mean, I'm with you. I'd like to just kind of coast and say, oh, we'll get it done anyway. And it just never worked like that. As my grandfather used to say, it's whole hog or none. You know? And that's exactly what Paul wanted Timothy to do as a young evangelist. He wanted him to take pains. He wanted him to be fully committed to what he was doing. And that's the application I make to myself and to you as well. Let's be fully absorbed in the work of Christ. And then what's going to happen? Look what happens right there in the very verse. Progress. Growth. And it'll be evident. Yeah. It's like nobody will notice. Nobody will care. That ain't what the book says. God will know. That's the most important person. And when your progress, because of your fully full devotion to Jesus, will be evident. We'll see a new you. We'll see a changed you. Because, oh yeah, you're reading the Scripture every day. Truly, you're using your spiritual gifts. And now you're fully devoting yourself to Christ. No more half service. You're here every time the doors are open. You're here for every fellowship event. You're volunteering for ministries and to teach class and do whatever you need to do. Because you're going to be fully devoted to Christ. The last thing that Paul says in this context, and won't spend a lot of time here because I've spent a little time in a previous sermon on it. And he says, take spiritual inventory. talked about this again last Sunday night, and examining, exhorting, and encouraging. Those were the three words that we did in that lesson, and examining was number one, and this goes right along with it here. Again, now look at verse 16. He says, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Pay close attention. And I think that would go to every facet of life. Pay close attention to how you dress. Spring's coming. We tend to wear less clothing when it gets warm than we do in the winter. Be careful how you dress, that you may not be a temptation to somebody else. Pay close attention. Pay close attention to what you say. Sometimes we just ramble and gossip and slander and just talk about such things that we shouldn't. Paul says here, pay close attention to what comes out of your mouth. Maybe it's with our lifestyle and what we do and the things that we approve. And he says, well, hey, careful. Pay close attention to yourself and what you do, what you think, what you say. That's how you ensure your own salvation. That's how you make sure that you're on that straight and narrow, is because you pay close attention to your perception and how you speak and how you dress and how you act and what you think and what you talk about. Yeah, pay close attention, he says, to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere. Hang in there. Don't give up. One of the things about growth and one of the things about people is one time usually doesn't do it. We have to be reminded again and again and again and again, don't we? That's just human nature. And truly, he says, you need to persevere. Don't give up too quickly. Don't give up before it's time to give up. You know when it's time to give up? When they close the lid. Because then you don't have to. Yeah, we should never give up. And Paul tells Timothy, persevere. Hang in there. Keep on keeping on. Even when you don't see the fruit, even when you don't see the results of your labors and you think it's going on in vain, it's not. Persevere. Hang in there. Don't give up. And truly, he says, if you do this, you ensure your own salvation and to all of those that hear you. Truly, we need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith doing what we need to do. What a wonderful admonition that it is. Well, as we bring it into a close, Paul said that Timothy was to persevere, and that we should do. Never sit back and rest on your laurels spiritually, but attempt to grow and to be what God wants you to be. Devote yourself to the reading of Scripture. Devote yourself to using the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Devote yourself fully to Jesus Christ. And take spiritual inventory. Watch closely your life and your doctrine. And you'll save yourself and all of those that hear you. We offer heaven's invitation this morning for those that need to respond and give their life to Christ. Are you ready when Jesus comes? I don't know when He's coming. Could be this afternoon. Could be long after all of our lifetimes. But truly, He is coming back. And whether we're alive or not, we need to be ready. Until He comes, are you ready? If not, come while we stand and while we sing.